Did you know that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illnesses in the U.S. today? Hi, I'm Rob West. You might assume that we have a major anxiety problem just by the number of commercials you see for new medicines to treat these disorders. But is anxiety really a new thing? We'll talk about it today, and then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Modern medicine breaks down anxiety into many different forms. These include generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social anxiety, and any number of phobias. Data indicates that nearly a third of all U.S. adults will experience a form of anxiety sometime in their lives. The cost of treating anxiety disorders in the U.S. is estimated in the tens of billions of dollars, and the loss of economic productivity due to anxiety may be much more. We might ask, what's causing this? Well, according to the Mayo Clinic, the causes behind anxiety disorders aren't fully understood. However, they undoubtedly include any number of other physical and mental issues, as well as negative life events. Those might be the loss of a job or financial problems in general. Now, let's be clear about something. If you're experiencing anxiety that simply won't go away, you should see your doctor about it. Medication or counseling or both may be needed, and they can make a world of difference. Now, it might seem that anxiety is a modern disorder, perhaps brought on by today's frantic schedules, electronic bombardment from smartphones, and maybe even improper diet. But anxiety is not new at all. How do we know that? Well, because Jesus talks about it at length in Matthew 6 and Luke 12. Let's look at Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. It reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Now, it's not difficult to imagine that as the disciples traveled about Galilee and Judea, depending on donations for their sustenance, they might have been a little anxious from time to time about where they'd sleep and where their next meal was coming from. Jesus exhorts them to have greater faith. In verse 31, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." John Reinhart, the founder of Gospel Patrons, says that Jesus wants to set us free from fear and anxiety, but with a purpose, to be different from the world. The world sees the love of money almost as virtue and chases after comfort and security. It builds bigger barns and puts a premium on financial planning. Now, we need to have a financial plan, but not with leisure as the end goal. John Reinhart says the world wakes up in the morning thinking about wealth and goes to bed at night thinking about it. The world naturally moves toward money for its own sake, and that's dangerous for Christians. Jesus says you're going to be tempted to do that. You're going to be pulled to the love of money. The cultural pressure is going to draw you in that direction. So how do you fight against it? Well, by understanding that you are valuable to God. He made you, and he has a purpose for you. Jesus tells us what to do to escape anxiety, or what we might call the cares of the world. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you need will be added to you. To be sure, we must participate in our own provision, but we must also have faith that God will do his part and provide as he's promised. If you know you're valuable to God, you'll go in the opposite direction of the world. You'll seek his kingdom first and want to boldly proclaim the gospel wherever you go, glorifying God as you do. That is your purpose. Glorify God as you carry out the Great Commission. So we all have to make a decision. Which way will you go? Toward the world or toward the kingdom of God and his righteousness? You can't do both. As Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Choose God over money and see what happens. The cares of the world may just drift away. I hope this has been an encouragement to you today and caused you to want to go back to God's Word, to renew your mind, to remind yourselves of the promises of God, His care and love and provision for you, His child. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Few things are as refreshing as an ice-cold glass of water, especially after you're tending your garden or running outside with the kids. You may have felt tired, but just one sip can refresh you. How much more do we need the Lord than a glass of water? King David uses language easy to understand to describe this need. Psalm 63:1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Just as we long for a glass of water, so also we should long to be in the Lord's presence every day. Grow in your walk with Christ with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and along with my team, we're grateful that you're listening today. Here's our goal, to help you be that wise and faithful steward of the resources God has entrusted to you, making wise decisions as you live, give, owe, and grow God's money. Now, here's the reality. The Bible has a lot to say on this topic. My friend and former host of this program, Howard Dayton, counted them. That's right. Early in his journey, his faith journey, as a part of a men's Bible study, they decided they were going to count the passages on money and possessions in God's Word. Now, a little funny anecdote to this. Howard was a brand new Christian, and so he and the other gentleman that decided they were going to take this on, that gentleman said to Howard, "Hey, why don't we split it in half? You take the Old Testament, I'll take the New." Howard ended up doing a lot more work. Nevertheless, they cut out every passage
message, stack them in piles according to topic, and 2,350 verses later, they had their number. So we know that God's word has a lot to say about this, and I believe that the reason there's so much there is because money and the things that money can buy and all the issues surrounding our management of God's resources is probably the primary competitor to lordship. If something's going to derail us from placing God in his rightful place in our lives in first position, it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. And so we want to look at it through the lens of Scripture. We want to approach this from God's perspective and not the world's perspective. Well, we want to help you do that each day, making practical decisions, but in light of the reality that God created money as a good gift to give and to provide and to even enjoy, but that we're to be careful and not let it grip our hearts. And we can see how it will do that and choke out the word. We see that clearly in the parable of the sower. Remember, Jesus said that what was choking out the word from bearing 30, 60, 100-fold returns was the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And so as we look at this through the lens of Scripture and guard our hearts, holding God's money loosely, well, we can find a way to manage those resources as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Well, we want to help you do that each day, encouraging you along the way. And so let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ray, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Ray.
Rob, I've listened to you for a couple of years, and one thing I want to say, I'm convinced that God has shown his favor to us as children by him blessing us with Rob West in faith and finance, and I really mean that. Thank you.
Wow, that means a lot, sir. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, now let me tell you my quick story. God blessed me with a Schwab account about 7 years ago. Right. And I have done nothing with it. It just sat there. And I think one big reason is I am a lost ball in high weeds when it comes to investing.
So I really
could use your help.
Okay. Let's dive in. How can I help?
What to do with it? Well, I like the idea of responsible investments.
Yeah.
And I've heard you speak two companies. One was Kingdom Advisors and the other was Sound Mind Investing.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord is telling me that I need to do something with and get it out of that secular account and put it in biblically responsible investments. And so that's my question. What should I do?
Yeah, it's a great question, Ray. And I'm so delighted to hear that you're thinking about it in this way. You know, the exciting thing is we live in a day where you have the ability to align your investments in the secondary market in stocks and bonds, whether it's through mutual funds or individual stocks, you have the ability to align your investments with your values. And that can take on one of three different forms. It can include, and it may be all three, it can include avoiding certain companies that are misaligned with your values. Often, many Christians will want to avoid companies directly involved in tobacco or alcohol or pornography or abortion, things like that, gambling. That would be one approach, is to avoid companies misaligned with your values. The second is to embrace companies that specifically have an end aimed at human flourishing and even advancing the gospel. So they're adding value to shareholders through their company's growth, but they're doing it in a way that's responsible, that promotes the human good. And then thirdly, and you could do this alongside those other two, is corporate engagement, where as an owner of these companies, you're able to vote proxies and express your values to company leadership where they may have gotten off track. And maybe they're promoting a political agenda that doesn't even align with their objective to grow their company, but they've gotten kind of lost along the way, and you can call them to account in that regard. And so there are some world-class investments now, Ray, that allow you to do this type of investing in a way that, based on the research, doesn't at all sacrifice returns, which is wonderful. And what I would recommend, because as you said, and this is where most people are at, you need wise counsel. You've been working as God has called and gifted you throughout your life for the last 79 years. And you're saying, I've been entrusted with a significant amount of money, And I want somebody who can invest it on my behalf with my goals and objectives in mind, but do it in a way that's aligned with my deeply held values and priorities as a believer. So here's where I would go next. I would connect with a certified kingdom advisor. And one of the things we've done recently is we've actually allowed you to search all the certified kingdom advisors in your area, but specify that you only want a CKA that offers faith-based investments. Many CKAs, although you know they've committed to the statement of faith and they've been trained to bring biblically wise advice, they may offer largely or exclusively traditional investments. But there are many of them that offer faith-based investments. And so we can provide you a list there in Tulsa, and then you could interview perhaps two or three and find the one that is the best fit for you. Ray, are you comfortable using the internet to do a search like that?
Sure. Yes, okay. I can do that.
All right. Very good. So I'm going to give you a website, and then I'm going to tell you where to go from here. The website is faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And then right there at the top of the page, Ray, it'll say find a professional. And when you click find a professional, you'll say, I want a CK in the investment area. And then it will say, do you want faith-based investments or traditional? You'll choose faith-based. And then it'll provide you a list of all the CKAs offering faith-based investments in Tulsa. And then you can contact them and set up appointments. How does that sound?
Well, that sounds good. Now, I don't suppose you have a clone working for them, do you? Because I like the way you're thinking.
No, but I'll tell you, these are men and women that have met high standards in character and competence, and they will share your values as a believer, and they will be quite skilled at helping you deploy these assets for the glory of God and as a wise and faithful steward. So I'm confident you'll find somebody that you feel real good about. All right?
Rob, I appreciate you. You enjoy the rest of the day.
And you as well, sir. God bless you. And thanks for your kind remarks about the program. Before we head to the break, this is a great time for me to remind you about the FaithFi app. You know, we built the app so that you would have a money management tool that allowed you to build your budget using the tried and true envelope system, but to do it in a simple, beautiful format. We built it for you so you could stay on budget. We'd love for you to check it out. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can go to our website as well, faithfi.com. You'll find it there. In addition to the money management system, you'll find all of our content, broadcast archives, and the FaithFi community, which is there for you to ask questions and get responses from other stewards on the journey with you. Again, faithfi.com, just click app. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income, and then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, it's all about equipping you with a biblical worldview. First and foremost, to encourage you to surrender your lives to Jesus, to place your full trust in Him for your salvation. And then beyond that, which is the biggest decision you will ever make, it's all about stewardship. How can we be stewards of what God has entrusted to us? Our time, our relationships, we're stewards of God's word and our talents and skills, and yes, His resources, the financial resources that have been entrusted to us. How do we live with a biblical worldview in every area of our lives, including this area of money, understanding the heart of God from Scripture and applying that to the everyday decisions we make with His money? That's what we want to do on this program to help you do just that. Let's head back to the phones. We've got some great questions coming up to Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, Anna. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Thank you, and God bless you what you're doing. I was trying to see what to do with some money that I have that the Lord blessed me with. My daughter, Arlene Dashno, she's in Glenview in Chicago. She's a listener, and she told me about your program. And then the thing is that I do have $500,000, and I also own a condominium, which is rented.
Okay.
And so I have all this money. At the same time, I'm renting. I'm paying like $2,500 a month for rent.
Okay.
So I'm trying to see if I can put all this money together and buy a single home, you know, a small, like 2-3-bedroom house.
Yes.
Here and I don't know if I'm 79 years old.
Okay.
So I don't know what is the wise thing to do. That's why I'm just, you know, reaching out to you and see if you have any advice for me.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad you called, Anna. Where is the $500,000 right now? Is it invested in stocks and bonds, or is it in a savings account?
It's in a savings account.
Okay, so it's just sitting there earning interest, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and I know you said you're renting the place where you're living, and that's $2,500 a month. You also mentioned a condo. Do you own an investment property that you've rented out to someone else, or is the condo what you're living in?
No, I have a rental, my condominium. I bought it 3 years ago. It's
okay.
Two-bedroom condo.
Okay.
But I don't like to live in there. It's kind of small for me and my daughter.
Okay.
So I'm renting on a first floor, so I'm paying $2,500 a month for this. So I think that maybe I can just put all this money together if I sold the condominium and buy a home or something of that sort.
Sure. Okay, so the condo is rented, and do you have a mortgage on it?
Yes, we have I have a small mortgage.
Okay, and how much are you bringing in per month after all the bills are paid related to the condo?
Related to the condo, it only leaves like $500.
Okay, so after the mortgage is paid and the HOA and all the expenses, you got about $500 left over.
Correct.
Okay. And what's the value of the condo?
Right now it's like 415.
415. Okay. And have you looked around there in Scottsdale, Anna, to see, based on the size home that you and your daughter would be comfortable with, what you would need to spend? Do you have a rough budget for that?
I didn't want to put all the money that I have in, in a down payment, but I was just thinking of maybe putting, leaving like $250,000 and invest it, you know. Okay.
So how much would you be looking to spend for the single family home you'd be buying? What would be your budget for that?
Like $700,000.
$700,000. Okay. And so you're talking about selling the condo in order to do this, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if you sold it, and let's say, you know, were to get, you said it's worth about $415,000, you know, let's say, you know, after expenses, you know, let's say you end up with $390,000 on top of the $500,000 you have in savings. So you'd have about $890,000, a little less than $900,000. And you spent $700,000 to buy it free and clear. Then you wouldn't have a mortgage, and you'd have about $190,000 left. Is that what you're thinking?
If I sold the condo today, I'm going to get like $277,000 equity. So
it's after the mortgage, $277,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I see. So you would have about $777,000, and then you're saying you wanted to try to keep did you say you wanted to keep $250,000?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so then basically you'd have a mortgage because that would leave you about $525,000. And so you'd need to have about $175,000 mortgage. Is that what you're thinking?
I think, according to my figures here, I'm going to end up with a mortgage, maybe $250,000.
Okay. Yeah, I may be off a little bit. You had $500,000, and you were thinking about you would net $277,000 out of the condo. That's $777,000. And then if you tried to retain $250,000 of that, that would leave you $525,000. And you'd be buying a $700,000 home, which would give you a mortgage of about $175,000. But there may be something I'm missing. But I think within round numbers, that makes sense. Now, do you have enough cash flow? What are your income sources?
My income, I have Social Security. I get like $24,000 a year. And then I get another $40,000.
From what?
And my income will be like $65,000 a year.
Okay, got it. All right, that's really helpful. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. I've got a lot of great background information here. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on where we go from here. And then John, Susan, Charlie coming your way as well. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before the break, we were talking to Anna in Scottsdale. Anna is 79 years young. She's got $500,000 sitting in savings. She owns a condo that's rented out, and she's currently renting a place with her daughter. She's spending about $2,500 a month on rent, and she was looking about $2,000 a month, looking to see if she could sell the condo, take a portion of that $500,000 in savings and put toward buying a single family home with a little more space, that perhaps with the same amount of money, she could have something that she enjoys a little more and perhaps even build some equity over time. And I think the only concern I have here, Anna, as I run the numbers, you're wanting to hang on to about $250,000. You calculated that meant you'd have a mortgage of about $225,000. And if you did that, you would have a mortgage payment at the current interest rates, including an estimate for property taxes and insurance. And these estimates may or may not be on point, but I'm coming up with about $2,100 a month for that mortgage payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance on that $225,000 loan. And that seems to work right now. It's quite a bit higher than I would normally recommend, because with your income being about $5,400 a month, $65,000 a year, I would rather you not be, have more than 25% at the most, 35% going to your mortgage payment, but that's only 30% would be $1,600 a month. So it's quite a bit more than that. But you may come back and say, well, I'm already doing that right now with my rent, so I know I can make it work. And that's really the real test, is can you make it fit in the budget? I guess my only concern is, how does this work longer term? Because that's a 30-year mortgage, which means this thing's going to be with us for the rest of your life. And, you know, a good bit of your income right now comes from your small business. So what if you were unable, to continue that at some point in the future? Would you have enough income to continue to pay on this mortgage at that point? What are your thoughts on that?
I have other money.
Okay.
I have another $100,000 because I invested it. 67 here and like 27,000 there.
Okay. Yeah.
And 39,000 more. So
okay.
I still have a little. Should I put more money down then?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm thinking, is two things. What if you put a little bit more money toward the purchase, and what if you brought down the total spend?
So instead of spending $700,000 on a home, what if you guys could find something for $500,000 or $550,000, and the goal would be for you to buy it with cash, and let's keep your expenses as low as possible. And then what I do with what's remaining, whether it's the additional money you've socked away or whatever's left out of the $500,000 in savings, I'd probably set aside somewhere between 6 and 12 months worth of expenses, which for you, you know, that's somewhere between $30,000 and $60,000, and then give the rest to an advisor to invest for you so that you could grow that a little bit. Because if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you might need this money to last for 2 more decades or more. And I think the way you overcome inflation is by putting it to work for you. So I'd probably do a couple of things. I'd try to spend less on the home purchase. I'd put more down and try to be mortgage free, and then keep in savings, high yield savings, 6 to 12 months expenses, and then put the rest with a certified Kingdom advisor. And you could find one in your area at faithfi.com. So that's my best advice. You sound like a wonderful, diligent steward of God's resources, Anna. And I appreciate your call today. If I can help you further, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's go to Chattanooga. Hi, John. How can I help?
Yes. Rob, I listen to your program quite often, and you had a guest on there where she said that we should put money back for disability insurance. And in the past, I've heard you say we need to put back money for rent. I mean, for car repairs, for this and for that. We need to give the Lord His money, His 10%. With the economy the way it is, with people are spending at $1,100 more a month because of the current administration, what they're doing to us.
Yeah.
How in the world can we do these things? It's impossible. Credit card debt is in the trillions of dollars now, and so I like for you to explain to your listeners, how can we do these things that your show suggests that we do?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, John, and I appreciate you asking. You know, I think the starting point is to recognize that it all belongs to God. And so we've been entrusted whatever we have as our income and our assets. We are now the stewards or the managers of those resources. And the question is, how do we find God's heart in managing those resources? First of all, with contentment, recognizing God's provision is enough and we need to live within it, not beyond it, even though the world would allow us to do that through debt. And you appropriately acknowledge that credit card debt is at a record high, $1.1 trillion right now. So the question for each of us is to take a step back and to say, okay, with whatever God has entrusted to me, how do I order my finances in such a way that I can live within that provision? And, you know, it's kind of like that illustration that we've often heard about the jar and the rocks and the sand, and you can't get it all in unless you put the rocks in first, because if you start with the sand, you'll never get the rocks in. Well, what are the rocks? Well, I would say giving unto the Lord, I think, is one of those big rocks. Putting food on the table, you know, keeping a roof over our head, gas in the car so we can get to work, the utilities on. You know, those are the essentials. And then beyond that, we start to get in, you know, move from the needs into the wants. And I think we have to right size our living expenses. And we've got to trust the Lord for His provision. We've got to make this an exercise of prayer and trust and faith in the Lord. And we may not be able to do everything. For instance, setting aside money for college is a luxury. Even though we'd all love to be able to do it, we may not be able to. And you're very right in that it's harder now than ever. I was sharing the other day that a basket of groceries just during these last 3.5 years is up 21%. That same basket of groceries 3.5 years ago was 21% lower than it is today. So yes, things are more expensive now. Auto insurance rates and car prices and home. I mean, we're up 47% and, you know, since pre-pandemic levels on home values. Interest rates are up. I get it. It's hard. And so I think that's where we need to have a plan. We need to be willing to right size our expectations. We need to save appropriately. We need to be, you know, really thoughtful about what we're spending God's money on. And we we need to make an absolute commitment to live within our means, despite the fact that that's difficult to do. So I think we start with the big rocks, and then everything else beyond that is ultimately a matter of prayer. And, you know, I may have to forego things that I would like to be able to do, but I can't afford. Now, I realize that's easier said than done, but it's what each of us, I think, have been asked to do, you know, by the Lord as he entrusts whatever he does to us. But give me your thoughts on that, John.
Well, Rob, what you say is good, you know, people can't even put food on their table, you know. People yeah. are using the credit card to go in debt. So if all they can do is put gas in their car and buy food, they can't do anything other than that. And yeah. I wish you'd address that instead of all these other things.
Okay. Well, let's do this. I've got to take a break, but your point is well made. I hear you. And when we come back, I'll give you a few other thoughts on that, and then we'll get to some other calls. John, thank you for calling. I'll give you further thoughts right around the corner here. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
What should you look for in a future spouse? On the next Focus on the Family, Pastor Alistair Begg encourages singles to look beyond physical appearance. Good looks can fade, but godly character can last a lifetime. Practical advice with some wry humor as well on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. Then the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Thanks for listening to the program today. Before the break, we were talking to John in Chattanooga, and John correctly pointed out just the challenge that it is to manage God's money and to stay within God's provision in light of what we're facing right now with inflation up across the board. And in certain sectors of the economy, we're feeling that more than others. Food up big time, 21% a basket of groceries over the last 3.5 years. Home prices up 47% since pre-pandemic levels. And then you've got the high interest rates on top of it, bringing down home affordability. You've got tremendous increases in both auto insurance rates as well as homeowners insurance. And, you know, that's just the beginning. We're seeing other issues in other areas of the economy. And, you know, I think he points out, how do you do it all? How do you give to God's kingdom and to your local church and save and put food on the table and gas in the car, not to mention being able to enjoy what God has entrusted to you along the way? And I recognize it's challenging. And what I was sharing with John is I think it has to start with an absolute first recognition that everything belongs to God, and whatever I have has been entrusted to me by him. Money is a good creation given to us to enjoy and to provide for our families, and yes, to give as well, to give generously. And that calibrates our hearts to the Father. And once we recognize His place as Lord of our lives, including His resources that He's entrusted to us, then we have to live with contentment, which means we live within God's provision. And so we need to have discipline and self-control. And I realize that's challenging. And so I think the starting place is with those big rocks, as I shared with John before the break, that go in first. I think you've got to start with giving as unto the Lord. And you may not be able to give today at the level you want to, but I would establish a systematic giving level as a first priority, first fruits. And then beyond that, we've got to keep food on the table. And I realize that's challenging. And that may mean we're not eating out, but we're cooking at home, and we're going to be judicious about what goes on the table, because food prices are expensive. We're going to keep gas in the car and the utilities paid. And, you know, apart from kind of those big three, if you will, everything else is negotiable. And I think that's where having a well-thought-out plan that allows you to prioritize those needs and then ultimately your wants in your budget, and then having a system to control that, whether that's the, you know, Larry Burkett's tried and true envelope system, either in a physical envelope version where you literally fund envelopes for your food category and your clothing category and, you know, those types of discretionary items, or you use something like the FaithFi app where you have a digital version of that, that's essential. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to make that budget balance, because the extent to which we're spending beyond our means using debt is ultimately a recipe for disaster. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Can it be done? Well, I think if our trust is in the Lord and our we have right expectations about what our lifestyle should be, and we trust God for the rest, I think that's all we can do. And so, John, I appreciate you asking the question and the spirit in which you asked it. And I hope what I've shared has been an encouragement to you today. I realize I can't give you a silver bullet on that, but what I can tell you is to trust the Lord, accept His ownership of everything, prioritize your needs, then your wants, put a plan together, and then live within that with a disciplined process. We appreciate your call, sir. Let's go to Lakeland, Florida. Hi, Susan. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. This is Susan. God bless.
Thank you.
I'm wanting to assign a power of attorney, but unfortunately, I don't have a family member that I can ask. What do you recommend?
Yeah. So if you don't have a trusted family member or friend, Susan, to appoint as your power of attorney, you can hire a professional to serve in that role. Typical options for that would be an elder law attorney or an estate planning attorney that can be appointed as power of attorney for finances and legal matters. There will be a cost to that, but you might start with the person that drafted your will or other estate related documents. It could be a financial advisor that's willing to serve in that capacity. There are also care managers with either, you know, nursing homes or a social work background that can serve as a power of attorney for healthcare directives. And so, you know, this would be a geriatric care manager. But it's not unusual for an elder law attorney to act as both the financial and the healthcare power of attorney. And so I would perhaps, if you're looking for someone and you don't have that friend or family member that the Lord has called to your mind to serve in that role, then I would reach out to a certified kingdom advisor in your area on our website at faithfi.com, and then ask for a referral to an estate planning attorney who shares your values as a believer. And then, you know, perhaps you put somebody in that position in more of a corporate role. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it sure does. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Susan. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Charlie. How can I help you, sir?
Okay. I used to sell tax shelter annuities, and I have some experience. But from time to time, I hear financial guys knocking annuities as not a good investment. And I think annuities are some of the best. I wonder what your going to say about annuities?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, here's my take on it. they are not my first choice for most people. Keep in mind, when you're talking on the radio, you're dealing with a wide swath of audience. And, you know, when I talk about just kind of the typical investment and how you save for the future and how you protect yourself in terms of having life insurance to provide for the needs of your family at your passing, annuities are not my first choice. I would rather see people buy term life insurance, get as much as they need, at a minimum 10 to 12 times their income during their working years, and then drop that insurance when they get to retirement. And then at the same time, start as early as possible. And after they give and after they provide for their families, that they have enough left over to put money away in a tax-deferred retirement account like a 401k or IRA or both, and save for a long period of time and let that money grow on a compounded basis. So for the average person, that's my preference. Now, where do annuities come in? Well, they can make sense in the sense that maybe you started late in putting money aside for retirement and you've maxed out your retirement plans. Well, an annuity is a tax-deferred vehicle that you can do additional saving in. Maybe you're looking in a later season of life for a guaranteed return, and you want to transfer the risk of those investments away from the market where you're bearing the risk, and you want to place that risk on an insurance company in exchange for either a guaranteed rate of return for a fixed annuity or a portion of the upside on a variable annuity with the floor on the downside. And if that's what gives someone peace of mind, then I'm certainly okay with that. The primary reasons, Charlie, that I don't use them as my default, my go-to for the average listener, is that you lose access to the money in part because, as you know, you have surrender charges if you need to get it back. And the largest issue, apart from the tax issues when you start taking the withdrawal, is, you know, paying taxes on the earnings. The larger issue is that, you know, when you look at the average annualized performance of the, let's say, the stock market, the S&P 500 over the last 100 years, primarily where you get the, you know, 8 and 9% annualized returns over a long period of time is because of those years where the market was up dramatically. It offsets the years where it was flat or down. And the problem with annuities, variable annuities, is you're giving up some of that upside potential that's really the key to getting those better long-term annualized returns. Because remember, the insurance company keeps everything above a certain amount in exchange for giving you that floor on the downside. So for me, especially if you're starting young, I'd rather take the risk on the downside but get the full upside, and you can't do that with an annuity. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I used to sell both fixed and variable.
Yeah.
And my clients were school teachers who would take money out of their monthly savings and invest it into both. And every one of my teachers were happy with the annuities.
Sure.
Many of them accumulated several thousand dollars.
Yeah.
And they're safe. You get a good company and you're safe.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. And it's all tax deferred. And to me, you can't beat it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate that. We certainly can have a variety of perspectives here. And again, just to reiterate, I'm not one of those financial guys, if you will, that says there's never a place for an annuity. You'll certainly hear that from some. You won't hear that from me. It's just not my go-to. It's not my default option for the largest majority of people for the reasons that I mentioned. But I appreciate you weighing in today. Thanks for being on the program. We're going to finish in Macon, Missouri with Darwin. Go ahead.
Hello there. My wife and I have a revocable trust. Yes.
Yes, sir.
We have in a property as well as investments. We are thinking about moving to Illinois to a senior living facility. We wonder if Illinois will have any way that they can get their hands on that money and that property.
Hmm. Yeah. No, unless there was some sort of a judgment against you, or unless you spend down all of your assets and ultimately go on Medicaid to pay for a nursing home, let's say, in a Medicaid-approved facility, and then they try to recover some of that money out of your estate. Now, a revocable trust does not provide protection against creditors like an irrevocable trust does. The only challenge is with an irrevocable trust, you lose control over it. So I like the revocable trust for efficiency in transferring those assets to the next generation. Not going to do a whole lot for you, though, in terms of creditor protection. And yes, the estate can recover, or the government, Medicaid expenses if you end up on Medicaid. But for the rest of your questions, I'd seek out the counsel of an attorney. Thanks for your call. Well, that's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks for being along with us. On behalf of my team today, Autumn Simmons, and answering our phones today, grateful for Autumn, Devin Patrick, my producer, and on research today, Mr. Jim Henry. For everyone here at Faith Five, may the Lord bless you. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.